So thankful that you're here, and I want you to feel welcome. Your singing was beautiful this morning. I feel like it was blessed of God, and certainly an indication, again, that at least for these few moments, we're on track, and that God's blessing us in our sacrifices to Him in song. Two of our visitors are my precious daughter-in-law and her husband, Andrew. Andrew, we're happy that they're here today, and I'm going to ask Andrew to take most all the time this morning as he feels led, whatever God's put on his heart and his mind today. Andrew has been what Primitive Baptists call liberated by the Houston Primitive Baptist Church. Most of you know that. Some don't, but just by way of introduction. And all that means, and a lot of churches don't do that. When I began to feel like I had a calling to preach, and more importantly, or I guess just as important, my local church, old school church, felt like I maybe had a gift to preach. To liberate someone is to set them at liberty to exercise the gift to preach that God's already given them. That's what that is. And so the church, of course, makes a determination and hopefully seeking God in that, whether or not they have a gift to preach. Certainly the church does not want to and should not place a burden on a man who is not called to preach. Lay hands on him and ordain him to the ministry. Not ordain him to preach, because God should have already done that. So just to explain that, I'm at bad fault about assuming what people know. I think, well, everyone knows this or that. It's not always the case. Or maybe we haven't heard it in a while, but so I felt like I wanted to explain that. I was blessed to go attend much of the association down in Houston at the Grace Primitive Baptist Church, where my membership used to be years ago, and we were really blessed in the services and the singing, fellowship, preaching, praying, and one of the ministers went to this verse, a couple of verses in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. It's the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. In a moment, we'll have our prayer and our final hymn. I believe, Andrew, did you want number 59? Is that okay? Number 59. There's six verses, so just it's some of that. You don't have to lead all of it. You can, Brother Tim, you can pick what you want. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the ninth verse says, and let me just start with the paragraph here, verse 8. Chapter 12, Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher, the 10th verse says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Now, I'll stop there. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Preaching the gospel is not, in case you weren't aware, it's not just simply a man during the week studying and laying out what he's going to talk about. That is much of it. I knew a minister, heard a minister get up one time, and this is one extreme, and at a meeting, and just simply said, well, he was just waiting for God to just give him something, and said he had not prepared anything at all. There's a line between there somewhere that we have to do. We're taught by Scripture to study to show ourselves approved. And so we study. With me, it helps me, and I need all the help I can get as far as memory goes, but to to write notes down, write things down. I can then see that as I'm trying to preach, reminds me. And yet we know that God gives the message. And this was mentioned, I mentioned this before, and it was talked about this weekend some, that the message that the preacher is delivering, it may very well be something that he studied on for a week or more. And yet God gives the congregation, each person, the message that they need. We don't know what you need. Sometimes we're aware of what you're going through and experiencing, but we don't know what your heart and your soul truly needs. I've discovered that. I've experienced that where whatever sermon I deliver, or and it's encouraging me to me in this respect, that more than one person would come up and what they got out of my sermon was not the thrust of it. And I mentioned this before, that Brother Ronnie's been real good in this the email that he sends out, and he sometimes has to try to title a preacher's sermon, and I'll get his email, and when I preached and he's been there, I know that they'd probably be in there at a meeting association or something. I try to scroll to it. Well, let me see what Brother Ronnie titled my sermon. Sometimes it's not what I thought. In my mind was the subject, but I saw what he got out of it, and it always makes sense. I'll give him that. It always makes sense, and I see that. But that's not just him. It's different people have told me that. That's God working in them. Yesterday, Brother Sonny Huckabee, yesterday morning, preached ahead of my younger brother, Mark Rowell, down there, and they both shared the stand at the church at Stratton, Texas, where Brother Elder Jeb Owen is pastor, who's one of the preachers, will be at our annual meeting in October. But they had some of those that could not hear. They were deaf in the congregation. So for the first experience of both of them, they had someone, and Elder Bill Walden told them about this, that we've got some members and some visitors that cannot hear, and they brought the lady that signs so that they can see what the minister is saying and all. Many times hard to read lips. I can't read lips. She did that. And so Brother Mark and Brother Sonny both preached yesterday, preached then when that lady did that for these that had no hearing, and they mentioned that they saw and that the ones that could not hear, and when Brother Mark or Brother Sonny would maybe say something humorous, and the lady was signing their sermon, and they would see, and they were smiling or laughing, and then another time they'd be crying. And they heard the voice of God. That's what the message should be, the voice of God Almighty. And He touches our hearts. He knows exactly what you need. I can't emphasize that enough. He knows what you need. And here where it says the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, we try to do that. We fail in doing that. Yet God can bless the congregation, the saints of God, to receive and hear within their very heart and soul what they need to hear, in spite of us, in spite of us. And in fact, the preacher here, and let me read that 11th verse real quick. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Now the word preacher here in the 10th verse, it means assembler. You put something together, you build something, you assemble something, and here it says talks about the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. That's where it should come from. There, I've always said, and I stand by this, that I don't want to get up and preach a sermon with either a secular or, I don't know how to word it descriptively, but an agenda where I want to cover something for something happening. There's many times that there is issues that we need to preach about. The difference between just talking to someone, which we still need to seek the presence of God in even talking to someone, counseling or visiting with someone on some on a matter. But the preaching of the gospel is different from that in that we need to seek Him. He sought to find out acceptable words. If I have an agenda on my mind, then I need to be patient and pray to God, and He will cover that if need be. And it's a difference between making someone angry and making someone cry tears of joy in receiving that message. And so there's the difference. I don't at work or wherever I may be, I don't particularly like to get up and lecture, make a speech or in front of a lot of people and all. But in preaching, I draw some consolation and some peace and comfort in knowing that God is going to be there with me in that, because you all and I am important enough because Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us. He's going to feed you. And a shepherd, I'm not talking about the shepherd, given from one shepherd, the great shepherd, but the shepherds, which are, and as it says in Revelations, the angels over the flocks, the pastors of the churches, to shepherd and to pastor is and to feed the flock is much more than simply preaching the word. It's you must have love in there and concern and care. And so I'm thankful when I pastor a church that, and I, in the past, the churches that I pastored before Brentwood Hills, that I felt blessed in feeling a sense of defense for the people there and of love and a connection. At the singing school down at Grace, and I didn't really mean to take this much time, but at the singing school at Grace, when they would get different ministers to get up and speak, much like they do at Harmony Hill, and I guess Harmony Plains, but they would speak. And so I spoke, and one of the things I mentioned in that, in song leaders many times, especially young ones just beginning to learn, will hide behind their book and not look. I was one of those. And believe it or not, when I first in 1972 began to try to lead singing, very shy and all, and Harvey Bass would bang on the back doors of the church house and say, "Ward, I want you to bounce your voice off of these doors here." I'm sure y'all maybe regret him telling me that, soon I was able to do that. But I tried to emphasize when I got up and spoke one morning there at the singing school, that to the benefit that I found in preaching, and that's where I learned this, not so much in song leading, but to look up at the congregation, but not just as a whole. I try to look and connect with the people, with the persons out there. And I feed off of that. I can see, I certainly see when you're nodding. If I saw you shaking your head or something, I'd feed off of that as well, but in a different way. But there is, and I tried to emphasize the benefit and the joy in that. And when I'm thinking, when I'm preaching, there's not a bit of feeling. It's so dry, maybe. And I look out and actually see someone shedding tears, maybe tears of sadness or joy. Maybe it's of comfort. But it gets me back on track. I believe God does that. And preachers should connect with their congregation, with the people there. And so I tried to emphasize in leading singing, if what I've said to you is true and what we all, I think what we believe, that singing the songs of Zion is part of the worship service, should be scriptural, certainly. We shouldn't be singing heresy. And so we do the same thing. How many times have I been overwhelmed in the song service where I felt the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, comforting me in that song? The words touched my heart in some experience I'd had. So those words, those acceptable words, are in the songs as well. So pray for the ministry as a whole, that we would continue to seek out acceptable words and to, as we assemble the message as God puts it together for us. in that. I'll lead us now in prayer, and then we'll sing number 59 after that, and then call on Brother Andrew to preach for us. If you will, bow in your own way. Gracious Lord God Almighty, we come to thee this time so overwhelmed with thy great mercies and thy blessings and grace upon us. Certainly, as one of the respective churches that go together to make up thy church, Lord, we are humbled by this and so thankful of thy blessings, even of this day. Even now, my prayers have been answered with the visitors that we have, with those that are here gathered together to glorify thy name, and with the blessings of the song service, Lord. Let us be thankful and appreciative of that. Lord, we are thankful for all the many blessings that thou hast given us. Too numerous, Lord. Those are certainly contrasted by all the many sins that we commit in our lives every day that nailed Jesus Christ himself to the cross. We ask thy forgiveness for those sins. And as we continue to sojourn here, bless us to simply not commit the number of sins that we have in the past. Bless us to serve thee as disciples, Lord. Let us be strong as we see what happens in the world and what is happening and the way that even our natural, our country here has gone. Lord, bless us to be firmly placed and stand upon the rock, our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, let us continue to pray for our nation, for our representatives, those that are elected to lead and guide this country. Bless them to follow thee, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessings upon all of the sick, all of the afflicted, certainly those that are afflicted with sorrow in mourning the loss of loved ones, whether it be even this past week, Sister Flory over at Old School Church who lost her husband, or those that we still miss that were called home, their soul and spirit, many, many years ago. Lord, we ask thy blessings upon those families and friends and all that were affected in El Paso and in Ohio last night of these evil ones that have killed. Bless those that are here, Lord. We know that those of thy children who were killed in those terrible tragedies are, their soul and spirit is with thee. They have no pain. They have no sorrow and no regrets. They know thee as deeply as we here left long to know thee. Gracious Lord, bless those families that are left here after those tragedies. Lord, we ask thy blessings this morning. Bless Brother Andrew to preach thy glorious gospel this morning. Continue to bless us as we sing songs to thee and then in our fellowship today and in our prayers. Lord, please continue to guide us throughout our lives, and we ask for thy providential care over us. We pray, we have a sincere hope, a strong hope, that we will always be near to thy church, that we might gather together, assemble ourselves together to worship thee as thou hast taught us. And we're so thankful for the church. We're thankful for this local body here, that thou hast blessed her, and we have seen such miracles, Lord. You, Lord, thou hast blessed us to rise above our humanity, Heavenly Father, and to show our deep love toward one another.
here in this place. Oh, Lord, we know that in our humanity, in our sinfulness, we can stray again. But, Lord, at this moment, we are so thankful for thy guidance and the peace that is here. It is what helps us make it from day to day, Heavenly Father, with thy presence in our lives when we're not gathered together. But to think back on a day that's been so blessed as this, Lord, please continue to bless us with that here. Let us not take it for granted. Bless us to lift thy name up. If we continue to glorify thee and praise thee and honor thee, even as we how we treat one another, Lord, in love, that we feel like we will be blessed in serving thee. Lord, please go with us on through life. And when it comes our time to lay down in death, be with us at that time. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray, and amen.